Good afternoon. This is Linda Galash, and you're listening to the July 29th, 2011 edition of Catalyst Radio, the weekly program of Community Media Center, as joined with our online citizen journalism project, The Rapinion. CMC's Catalyst Radio brings you interviews with organizations working on social change and community support, announces events and local efforts, and provides our media update about the media. Joining me each week to sift through the media news is Denise Chang. Today, our in-studio guests are from the Humane Society of West Michigan, as well as Seva Yoga. They are putting together an event called All for One to benefit the Humane Society. Up first, though, it's our free speech and media news report, and we start with this story, news organizations that are trying to monetize their content, kind of make up for the loss in revenues in journalism these days, have a new way to do it in the form of ebooks. That's according to Poynter Institute, who's suggesting that since many media outlets have troves of historical information, they can maybe handle it in this sort of way. And one French organization has already tried some of this.
There are a couple of groups in the U.S., including the Boston Globe and the Washington Post, ABC News, all of whom have released various ebooks around certain topics. Washington Post and ABC News on the killing of Osama bin Laden, and the Boston Globe with a three-part ebook about a Boston gangster following his arrest after quite a long time on the run. And the suggestion is to basically consolidate a lot of the information that a lot of these organizations already have in the form of archives. So curating articles from their archives in order to create a narrative and a timeline for people who are really interested in particular subjects. There has been a group that's done that recently as well in somewhat of a different form. Ars Technica, which is a group that reviews technology, the ins and outs of everything technical, they recently published a piece reviewing new software from Apple, and it was a very comprehensive piece, which was free online, but they released as an ebook for about $5. And within the first 24 hours of that release, over 3,000 copies had been downloaded and paid for. And when they got feedback on why people chose to buy those copies, even though it was free, a lot of it was because they wanted to have some sort of copy that they could own and refer to, specifically on an e-reader, as well as many others felt like they really appreciated the content in there because it was more of long-form journalism. So they donated the $5 really as almost a tip.
And there's been talk throughout the years and over the last decade with newspaper news outlet revenues declining that constructing a paywall might be the only way to actually recoup those revenues. Denise, is it not the New York Times that has kind of waded into that area among the first to do that?
The New York Times has waded into that area. They have had their paywall up since January, and there are ways to get around the paywall that they intentionally created, but that is the most prominent paywall to go up. There are other organizations that are looking into paywalls as well. And actually, Ars Technica, which is the group that we just mentioned having released an ebook, they do have paid content, content that you have to pay for in order to consume. But for the most part, a lot of their content is free, so they have something similar.
And just part of the technical description, you know, e-readers are the means that typically read e-books, but is that information also not, is that possibly available on computers as well, and it doesn't have to be gone read through an e-reader?
It doesn't have to be done through an e-reader. A lot of the software that exists out there for e-readers do function on computers. It's not set up for computer viewing, but you can still look at it. It's still compatible on a computer.
We pull this information from the sources Poynter as well as Neiman Lab. Our next piece has been a prominent bit of information in the news over the past week. Jose Vargas, who is a prominent Pulitzer Prize winner, comes out as an undocumented immigrant. And quite an interesting history on how this information even came to him and what's going on with that. He's kind of being the public face and making a stand on this.
Jose Antonio Vargas is part of a Pulitzer Prize winning team that reported on the Virginia Tech killings back a couple of years ago. And he recently came out about a month ago in an essay on the New York Times as an undocumented immigrant. He found out himself at the age of 16 when he went to the DMV to get his driver's permit. Prior to that, he had immigrated from the Philippines at the age of 12 and was unaware that he was an undocumented immigrant. He had a green card and he went to the DMV with that, and it was the DMV worker who whispered to him that this was not real and that he shouldn't come back to the DMV again for fear that he would get deported. That was when Vargas found out himself and had to ask his grandparents, whom he had been sent to live with. Since then, he had made his way through the field to become a very prominent journalist, and it's very recently that he declared his status, mainly because with all of the things going on with the DREAM Act, which is a bill that has been on the docket for Congress now for quite a while, he wanted to come forward. The DREAM Act would, in a sense, forgive the illegal status of a lot of immigrants who grew up in American society and don't know any other culture or any other country but the U.S., and who have contributed in terms of their education, in terms of their work, in terms of taxes, and in terms of many things. So it would allow them to become American citizens in a country that they identify with, rather than having to risk being deported, as well as having to possibly go back to their countries to line up, in a sense, just to come back to the U.S., which can take years and years. In doing so, Vargas actually puts himself at risk. There hasn't been any action taken yet, but he does put himself at risk for being deported.
And The Atlantic has covered this, as well as Vargas's piece does show up in the New York Times, where he writes about his stand on this.
Vargas, in his New York Times piece, actually makes the point that when he was in high school, he came out as being gay, and that was actually, in some ways, an easier act than coming out as being an undocumented immigrant. In coming out as gay, he actually did two things. His grandfather, who had gotten him to the U.S., had worked very hard to get him there, and it made him somewhat disappointed as a Catholic, but more importantly for his grandfather, it dashed his dreams of his grandson becoming a legalized citizen by marrying an American citizen.
And the links to the New York Times piece and The Atlantic, those links found on our website. And in this piece, we've covered this, and so has everyone else, quite well, the Rupert Murdoch's News Corp scandal having to do with phone hacking. The security and privacy crimes alleged to have been committed by Rupert Murdoch's media mega company called News Corp is providing an opportunity for, again, the critical examination of media consolidation. This according to a piece by New York Times writer Brian Seltzer. News Corp, as we reported last week, is the second largest media conglomerate, with Walt Disney Company being first, but its third is largest as an entertainment outlet. This is the results of what's being called media consolidation, what's been reported for the last decade or more. The founding director for the Park Center on Independent Media out of Ithaca College said this: "For those of us who've been warning about the dangers of too much media power concentrated in too few corporate hands, this scandal is a godsend." That from Jeff Cohen, who is raising, the issue of the hacking, raising the issue of media consolidation. And this one from a Democratic representative out of Illinois, Bobby Rush. He's saying, "We can't forget the fundamental tenet of media ownership in the United States. It's not a right, it's a privilege, and it's a privilege based on the trust and responsibility."
So the scandal that is being referred to is something that we covered on the last Catalyst Radio about one of Rupert Murdoch's organizations actually hacked the phone messages of several British citizens in trying to dig for more information. The most eye-catching one being them hacking into the phone of a girl who was missing and deleting messages from her phone as they heard it, and providing false hope for the family that this girl was still alive, who actually later turned out to have been murdered.
And just to clarify, the purpose wasn't to provide false hope. They were allegedly clearing out some of those voicemail messages in order to create room for more so they could get more information.
Mm-hmm. But that was one of the hacking incidences. And there was also talk about whether the Scotland Yard had been bribed for the group to continue to do that. But that group was actually shut down last week after a long media history because of this huge scandal. In addition to that, even though this is something that happened in the UK, and Murdoch insists that it was UK specific, the FBI has also been looking into whether any of the September 11th victims' phones were also hacked. And so while it's still a largely UK-contained incident, it has set off flags for a lot of groups in the US as well.
So we do link to that article by Brian Stetzer on the New York Times site. That wraps up our media and free speech news report. When we come back, we'll be talking about an event set for August 6th called All for One.
Train wreck, a bird song goes wrong. You're in with no tag bags, a glacier melting down. When you were gone for good, I didn't know you were here for now.
Same tune.
Saber-tooth tiger.
Say you from a rock out here.
No,
No, I'm just visiting. No, I'm just visiting.
Well, today in the Catalyst Radio Studio, we'll be talking about an event called All for One, set for August 6th. We're joined by Nikki Utier with Humane Society of West Michigan, as well as Michelle Fife of Seve Yoga. Welcome both to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, let's talk about this event to start with. Michelle, you're pretty much an organizer of it, and you kind of decided the Humane Society would be the beneficiary?
Yes, and just to clarify, because I don't want anybody to get left out here, I am one of the organizers. I am the founder of the event, but this year I've been very grateful to have the assistance of Laura Armenta of Armenta Studio and also Bettina DeMetz helping me organize the event. So it's great to have them on board, and this year we've got an event that's scheduled to be bigger and better than ever.
Well, go ahead, launch right in and tell us what this event is, All for One.
Well, All for One, first and foremost, is a benefit for the Humane Society of West Michigan, which they're another organization that's very near and dear to my heart, as I really like mammals, well, and reptiles, and, you know, everybody really, honestly. And so I wanted to create an event that would bring together all community, all of us equal, as one, as I see us, and for one common cause. And it happens to be to support the Humane Society of West Michigan. So this is like an outdoor yoga, music, art festival, really everything for health, wellness, and just healthy living and lifestyle. And we'll be at the East Grand Rapids track for the day from 12 until 6 p.m. There'll be dancers dancing. We've got hoopers this year. We'll have some aerial acrobatics going on, musical performances, and then a big community yoga class right in the middle of it that'll be about an hour and a half long with yoga teachers who are actually traveling from near and far to come and teach at this event. So no one from my studio or myself particularly, but I have Moses Love coming up from Florida with the Green Bus Project and some other instructors from the east side of the state and also the Chicago area. And not the stake, the state. Yeah.
Well, with this being the target of this event being the Humane Society, let's go straight to you, Nikki, and tell a little bit about how you're going to use these funds to help out the organization.
Sure. A lot of people probably know us for doing adoptions in the community, which of course we do, but we also have a full service of about 15 other programs that we offer. So we do things like Kibble Connection, which is a pet food bank for people that maybe during these economic trying times can't afford to feed their animals, but we want to do what we can to help them keep them in their homes. So we can supplement that by giving them some food. We have low-cost spay and neuter and veterinary clinics for, again, for people who can't afford to keep the animals or to get them up to date on their shots. We do behavioral obedience classes and a whole list of different programming. And because we're not funded by the government and we're not affiliated or funded by any national organization, we rely strictly on donations from our local community organizations such as Save a Yoga that are so helpful to us, and individuals like Michelle. They provide all the funding for the programming that we do.
Playing such a unique part in this community, and you're covering West Michigan, is that right?
That is true. Last fall we rebranded, and we didn't take on any new areas, but the name West Michigan more suited who we were servicing as opposed to just Kent County, because we do service people and animals from this entire region.
So that was a little more accurate of what you've been doing.
Absolutely.
Your location is northwest part of town?
It is. We're at 3077 Wilson, so near 3 Mile and Fruit Ridge in the northwest part of Grand Rapids.
Okay, so that's a decent-sized facility that how many animals do you have on site, say, at a given time?
Oh, it varies. Right now, we are at full capacity, actually. This is a very busy time of year for us. So we can have upwards of probably close to 200 animals combined with dogs, cats. Sometimes we'll get reptiles. We have small animals, guinea pigs, rabbits, birds, you name it, we get it.
And Humane Society is known for being careful about adoptions, and talk
Absolutely.
A little bit about the criteria there.
Sure. When you come in looking for an animal, we have the kennel area that you can go and browse through. Prior to doing that, we ask the individuals to fill out a survey or an application, and it kind of matches up the animal that they're looking for with the lifestyle of that particular family or individual. So if you're very active and maybe you want a dog to go running with you, we want to certainly provide an animal that's going to have that type of personality and want to do that, as opposed to someone who maybe is home a lot, maybe is a little bit older or retired and wants just an animal to kind of curl up at their feet. We have those as well, but we want to make sure that you get the right personality to match what you're looking for. So those questions are all covered in the adoption survey, and then you can go meet with any of the animals that you think you might be interested in. And then we have kind of a meet and greet. So if you have children in the home or other animals in the home, we want to bring them all together as well, again, to make sure everybody gets along well.
Okay. Well, not to dwell into the money part of it, but it's an expensive venture to do this. Can you maybe
Absolutely.
Give an idea of what it costs to operate the facilities per day, and maybe the numbers of volunteers that you have too?
Sure. We could not do what we do without our volunteers. We have approximately 500 volunteers that work with us. Some are there almost every day of the week. We have a group of core volunteers that helps walk all the dogs, play with all the animals, the cats, the small critters daily, because we are a staff of probably about 25 to 26. So without the volunteers, we wouldn't be able to do it. Money-wise, it is quite expensive. The average cost per day for animal is $30, and the average stay per animal is about 16 days. So as you can see, it's quite expensive just to maintain the animals that we have. And then each animal, when they come in, they're assessed by our behavioral therapist for not only health reasons, but also behavior. We want to make sure that they're appropriate to put out into the community. They get all the testing and all the shots that they need if they're not up to date. And then, of course, all the animals are spayed or neutered before we adopt them out. So all that cost goes into each animal. And we charge a small adoption fee, and that varies a little bit depending on the animal. But that only covers a small fraction of what it costs to actually house them.
So it's through many, many fundraising efforts such as this one that
Absolutely.
Really kind of gets by. You don't have a backing organization that's national or government, like you mentioned.
Correct. It's just because of the wonderful people and organizations locally that help us.
Well, Nikki, let's kind of bring it back to the festival and talk about, are you going to be on site maybe with some celebrity pets or something like that?
Sure, the Humane Society definitely will be there. It's a wonderful event. We had a great time last year. We'll probably bring out an animal or two. I have a couple adopted animals from dogs from the Humane Society, so they may make an appearance. But yes, we will be there as a presence. So if people want to come out and not only take part in the wonderful things Michelle has going on, if they have any questions for the Humane Society, we'll be there as well.
This is Nikki Outier as well as Michelle Fife. They work together on an event called All for One along with some other people, Nikki from Humane Society of West Michigan. And Michelle Fife, you put this together with this idea being yours. You've got a little more than yoga behind you that makes this a good connection for you. Talk a little bit about maybe your rescue efforts having to do with animals and your interests in that area.
Well, I am a little bit of an animal lover, and also have taken some classes in wildlife rehabilitation. I just really like to see animals, wildlife, nature, our world, you know, everything that we've been blessed with and has been given to us to be stewards of, taken care of well. So I love this festival for that. And also just even to bring awareness to people. So it's a free event. Anyone in the community can come. They can bring their dog, cat, rat, snake, whatever, you know, is cool to bring. And enjoy the event. And, you know, when they come in through the gate, we ask that they make a donation. And they can give whatever is appropriate to that individual, just to come in and enjoy and have a good time. We'll have a bunch of vendors at the festival as well. So you can shop, you can get your retail therapy, you can get your yoga therapy, you can enjoy the art and musical performances. It's going to be a good time for everybody, animals included. And I'm really hoping for them to be the big winners of the day.
How many years have you done this?
This is my second year doing this.
Right. So you have one under your belt and you
one
got
under
some idea.
My belt, and then right away I was thinking, wow, I can't wait to do that again. Yeah. But yeah, I actually start planning for this at around December of this year and starting to get people together and organize. So a lot goes into the event, and again, Nikki helps a lot, as well as the other volunteers that come together to help us put this together. It's a community effort to put it together, and that's how it should be.
You mentioned you have other organizers with you that work on this. How many volunteers, how many people do you have on hand just to do this event?
Well, probably we'll just have maybe about 25 people that day on hand to just put the event together, cleaning up, setting up, tearing down, helping with the vendors and booths and helping direct traffic. But, you know, there's been about four core people just that have been working with me since late winter helping to put this together.
Give us a little bit of a walkthrough as far as what the event looks like. You show up, tell me the hours of the event first.
Well, it's from noon until 6 p.m. And we're going to start off with more of the performers performing. So we have some bands that will be playing and then some dancers dancing. And also with this year being, you know, again, the Humane Society as our goal of our target to benefit, we also wanted to celebrate diversity and diversity within our community, you know, and within East Grand Rapids. So I've tried to get together performers of all different genres. So for instance, we have an African-inspired band, Wazobia, playing, and also some Middle Eastern dancers, ballerinas, hoopers, aerial artists, and the yoga class again, of course.
And what are you going to do as far as yoga out there at the festival? How's that work? And say you're a novice?
Oh, yeah, everyone's invited. Okay. And how it's going to work, I have no idea. I'm just going to let the day unfold naturally. Okay. The other teachers that are coming in, you know, I asked them to work together and put together an hour and a half long class, and I'm just assuming that it's all going to go off without a hitch. Mm-hmm. I'm very much a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of girl. There's been a lot of planning going up to this effort, sure. But I'd really like the day to unfold organically, and I'm sure it will. And if things don't go exactly on time and on schedule, that'll be okay, too.
Sounds good. Well, and you also said there's going to be a number of vendors, and feel free to mention some of those specifically, as well as some of the performers specifically. But what if people were coming to shop, what would they find?
Oh, almost everything. We've had a lot of vendors that have signed up that are like dog and cat vendors. There's somebody that makes like cat towers. I think they're called Cat Mountain, that's going to be there. So that's pretty cool if you're into those big cat structures, which Kitty seems to love, and some canine operations, pooper scooping service. Okay, I guess that perfect. Needs to happen for somebody. And then a lot of other vendors that are, you know, shopping for everybody, whether you have a pet or not. We have Aware Yoga Clothing is going to be there selling some great locally manufactured yoga clothes. We have some organic baby clothing and things. Let me think, what else? Cleaning products, household cleaning products that are also organic. Jewelry, mosaics, stampers, just all kinds of artists. Very reminiscent of the Reeds Lake Art Fair, but just at the high school track instead.
Just a little bit away from
there. Yeah, just steps away from that.
Well, with just a minute or two to wrap up, Michelle, you go ahead and then just sum up the event with some of the times, the locations, and all that, and then we'll come back to you, Nikki.
Okay, all right. Everything you need to know. On August 6th, it's a Saturday. Just get in your car or on your bike or on your scooter or take the bus and show up in East Grand Rapids, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. At some point during the event, Nikki, right, we're going to have about 200 butterflies that are going to get released. That's going to be magnificent to see.
We are actually. It's new this year. Michigan Butterflies has been grateful enough to donate to us, and they're going to actually do a 200 butterfly release during the event. So that'll be very cool.
That's a very unique thing.
That'll be really sweet to see. So, and yeah, just get there and bring your dog if you like and show up and expect to have a good time and hang out all day.
Okay. And Michelle, is there a website if anybody wanted to look up some more information on this?
Well, we have it on Facebook, All for One, and it's just ALL and the number 4 and then 1 spelled out. It's also on my website, saveayoga.net, on the blog post. And do you guys have something up with the Humane Society about it?
We do. It's on our website, hswestmi.org, and we have all the information on there as well.
And Nikki, go ahead and give the address of the Humane Society's facilities as well.
Sure. Again, we're at 3077 Wilson Northwest, and the nearest crossroads are 3 Mile and Fruit Ridge.
Okay. Well, talking about All for One, the event on August 6th, combining yoga and a benefit for Humane Society of West Michigan. It's Nikki Outier as well as Michelle Fife. Thanks for being a part of the show today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
And we continue now with a look at some of the events in our community.
And tonight is the Grand Rapids Critical Mass. Critical Mass is a biker's rights awareness ride that takes place on the last Friday of every month in cities all over the world. This Friday's ride is dedicated to Larry Martin, who's an area resident and cyclist who recently died after being struck by a car. If you want to participate, you should meet up at 5 p.m. at Rosa Parks Circle. More information is available at calendar.diygr.org.
And tomorrow night, that's July 30th, starting at 9:30 p.m., stargazers can head to Lowell for a look at the night sky. Veen Observatory is opening its doors for the public. Observatory has several high-powered telescopes, and members of the GR Amateur Astronomical Association will also share their own telescopes for viewers to observe through. More information is available at the link at our website.
WICE and Michigan Blood are hosting the Love Michigan Blood Drive this Tuesday, August 2nd, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Blood donors who stop by Michigan Blood will also be rewarded with a Michigan-made product. More information is available on the grcmc.org website.
And the Grand Rapids Latch On is set for Saturday, August 6th at 10 a.m., where nursing mothers will be making the point that breastfeeding in public is a natural and essential act. There'll be many performers, speakers, and others sharing about the importance of breastfeeding and its history and place in society. We have a link on our website to more information on that. The event is being held at Rosa Parks Circle in downtown Grand Rapids.
Also on Saturday, August 6th, from noon till 6 p.m., is the All 401 Festival that was featured in today's Catalyst Radio interview. The event will benefit the Humane Society, and you can find out more information at saveayoga.net.
Music featured this week on Catalyst Radio from Michigan band called Breathe, I'll Breathe. You've been listening to Catalyst Radio, your local source for independent information and news on the media. We broadcast every Friday. It's at noon, going to 12:30 p.m. on Community Media Center's radio station, WYCE. Archives of Catalyst Radio shows can be found on our website in a couple different ways, grcmc.org/catalystradio or therapidian.org. As well, at grcmc.org, you can learn about all the different programs and opportunities offered here at Grand Rapids Community Media Center. With Denise Chang, I'm Linda Galash, and this is 88.1 FM WYCE, Wyoming, Grand Rapids.